Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here we go. Hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. I'm Gavin Dawson. Hope you're having a great day. It is the game day tailgate with the pregame coming up in 1 hour. That is brought to you by the Low T Center, reinventing men's health. And now, Wolchuk, this is officially your Buffalo Wild Wings football hour. You know that, right?
Hell yes, it is. And B-Dubs is football, baby. We love you, Buffalo Wild Wings, and thank you so much for sponsoring this football hour where B-Dubs is football. They're actually opening the gates right now. So, so far, I'm seeing one Joe Burrow jersey. Looks like we've got one other Cincinnati jersey, but it's pretty damn all Cowboys so far. I was wondering how many Cincinnati fans would get here.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The Who Day, right?
I mean, they're 4-8. I can't imagine passion and budget for traveling is high, but, I mean, it is a bucket list, so I'm sure a lot of trips were booked early in the season or over the summer. I am Gavin Dawson. That voice was Zach Wolchuk. He's joined by Brian Broaddus, former Cowboys scout, NFL executive, and Eric Chiafalo. And here is more with Wolchuk in your NFL news of the day.
All right, I saw this from our buddy Seth Walder, and he said, chance to make the playoffs with a win tonight. Cincinnati, they got a 3% chance.
3%. That's three more percentages than I thought they had.
Yeah. How many percentages do you think the Cowboys have
Seven.
To win tonight? 7%?
Yep.
4%. General, you want to get in on this?
1.5.
1.5. Ding, ding, ding. The General's the closest. 2%.
Oh,
2%.
Dog it.
So it's a long shot for both of these teams. I think you pretty much have to win out if you want to have any chance. But maybe an eliminator game, because if they only have 2% with a win, if you lose, then essentially that, then you know it's done for. We're not going to be able to make the postseason. But this will be fun here tonight. Well, two teams that, you know, the last time they played, it was Cooper Rush, it was Joe Burrow, and Cooper Rush found a way to eke it out. Cowboys played some stellar defense. It's probably a similar strip to what they're going to have to do to get a victory here at AT&T Stadium today. I did also see that Netflix, we talked last week, like they weren't finalized with what their Christmas Day lineup was going to be. Who was going to be hosting this? What was going on? So they've added Kay Adams, RG3, Mina Kimes, Manti Te'o, and Drew Brees to their Christmas Day NFL doubleheader. So it's
Calling the game?
That's a great question. I'm not sure.
Actual play-by-play?
I know that they do have that figured out. But I can't say that off the top of my head, I know who it is.
It might be Ian Eagle's son.
I think it is. Noah Eagle. That's who it is. But yeah, do a quick Google search on that so we can find out exactly who's with Noah Eagle there in the booth. Really had some bad news with a couple season-ending injuries that happened yesterday, but maybe the most notable for us is Jonathan Brooks, who we know the Cowboys were very, very high on in the draft, went to Texas, tore his ACL last year with the Horns, and probably was the best running back in the draft. If that wouldn't happen, he might have even been a borderline first-round pick. Ends up going high in the second round, but he re-tore the ACL yesterday, according to Coach Dave Canales, so he appeared in just three games. Now he's going to have another long rehab process. And watching the play, it was another non-contact injury. Just brutal for Jonathan Brooks. I mean, I don't know the likelihood you have that happen back-to-back years in a row. Like, how likely is it you come back and you're the same player?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's extremely difficult for sure. But you have seen, I mean, there's been guys like Willis McGahee or Frank Gore. Dudes that just like
J.K. Dobbins, he's been dealing with a bunch of knee injuries.
There you go. That's another good example. Like it's definitely been done, but it takes a supreme DNA and an athlete, and then also a dialed surgeon not to be botching, you know, weird stuff. So that is a huge bummer, though. I hated to see that yesterday. Those non-contact ones, you almost know immediately. You're like, oh, crap.
Something bad has happened.
I mean, this
here.
Dude just completely just gave up on the play. He's clearly injured.
Aiden O'Connell got carted off yesterday for the 80s. He's got a bone bruise in the knee. So that's not something that's going to be season-ending. Like, I mean, anytime you see a quarterback getting carted off, you're thinking, oh, no, that's probably the last time we're going to hear or see him. But it was Desmond Ridder who came in. Both of them were absolutely atrocious. I mean, that might be the worst quarterbacking. And I know that we watched the Giants play, but those two teams, like, that is That is like the 5-11 Cowboys for three straight years, Brian.
Sure.
Those are bad situations.
Bad situations there, for sure.
Really, really gross. We did have some division clinch yesterday and playoff clinched yesterday. So the Chiefs, ninth year in a row, they have won the AFC West, and they're right now in the driver's seat with the Bills' loss to be able to get home field advantage in the National Football League. Another squeaker, but the Chiefs did indeed finish that one off. And the Eagles, in what was a really tight game, and that dude who bet $3.1 million on the Eagles to cover, he lost that bet. The Panthers were an Xavier Legette drop touchdown away from winning that game. Biggest upset of the season. Eagles did hold on to win, and they clinched a playoff spot.
Oh, so that dude didn't just have Eagles money line. He had Eagles covering.
He had them covering. I think it was 11.5.
Yeah, it was pretty fat.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What a schmo.
Really,
Legette has to just feel terrible. I'll tell you what, though. Bryce Young. There were some moments in that game.
Good.
Third down, back
early
up,
line,
on fourth downs. You're like, wow, dude, he was coming up big.
Can we stop Bama?
Early line is Carolina -1.5
next week
against Dallas.
Home favorite?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Early
line.
They're
playing good football right now. They took the Chiefs down to the wire. You could argue should have won that game yesterday against the Eagles. And now, I mean, shout out to Jalen Hurts. He's become the first player. Well, we're the seventh player in NFL history, but the first since LaDainian Tomlinson to rush for 13 or more touchdowns in three consecutive seasons.
Wow.
You know what he's been doing as a passer, though. But his receivers are starting to get frustrated.
I know. I love it.
A.J. Brown's getting annoyed. He had some comments post-game yesterday that weren't flattering about their frustration. So did Devontae Smith. Brown said, in describing the problem, it's passing. What we did today is not good enough, and it's not going to help us in the long run. They just threw for 209 yards in their win, and they had a net total of 83 passing yards against a defense in Carolina that opened the day as the 24th best in the NFL. They'd allowed over 225 yards, and net, they were bottom three in the NFL. So just 108 yards for Jalen Hurts, and he averaged 5 yards per pass attempt. Overall, we were thinking, okay, this is an offense that with Kellen Moore might be turning around. What a difference a couple of weeks makes. Now, all of a sudden, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, they're starting to get frustrated again.
I love it, dude. The infighting. It was only a matter of time. Took a little bit longer this season than last, but we've arrived there.
Do you think they're frustrated with the quarterback or Kellen Moore?
I think it's the quarterback.
Okay.
I think it, 'cause the same thing happened last year.
Yeah.
And I think it is frustration with the quarterback. I mean, it's a big turn from A.J. Brown, who before the Baltimore game was asked about, you know, okay, the lack of pass attempts, does that frustrate you? And he said, what they have in the backfield is special.
Yeah.
And he said, look, you got to remember, I played with Derrick Henry as well. So anytime that's kind of the focal point of the offense, I'm expecting I'm not going to get as much of a volume as maybe I would otherwise. But when you're almost losing to Carolina, then it becomes like, okay, get me the damn football, please.
Yeah, and I saw a couple of plays, and it's unfair, like out of context or whatever, but you see like an open A.J. Brown down the field, clearly open,
and it's
a check down, you know, 2 yards from Hurts. I'll have some sound tomorrow for the show, but there's like a 90-second compilation from after yesterday's filthy game where Eagles fans, men, women, and children, are storming out of Lincoln Financial Field, and then a microphone gets put in their face, and they're
Hurts
is not the answer. We got to get a new quarterback, and it's hilarious.
Well, it's also a dumpster fire with the Jets. They've now been eliminated from the playoffs again. They kept it close, though. My God, I think we all got dubs in Survivor, but the Dolphins, picking them was a nail biter.
Went
into overtime. Thank God. Aaron Rodgers was actually moving around pretty good. It was probably the best we've seen him move around in the pocket. Made some throws. It was like vintage Aaron Rodgers. But again, I think this is the fifth time Jets have led in the fourth quarter and then lost. So after the game, Garrett Wilson's asked about this. He says, when you're up in the fourth quarter and all of a sudden it starts to feel like we have a losing problem, it's like a gene or some bleep. It's not like we're going out there and getting our butt beat from start to finish. We have a chance to win the game, and we're supposed to win the game. Odds are in our favor, and we find a way to lose. So that's a culture of just losing and just disgust right now. And I think Garrett Wilson, a lot of those players are frustrated, but I don't know. They're gonna have to find the right type of coach, right type of GM, like what the Lions got, to really just change that losing culture and organization with the Jets. Right now, it just seems like they can't have nice things. We talked about it with the Aaron Rodgers signing. There was a lot of hype there. That hasn't worked out. I don't really know where the Jets go from here, boys.
No, I don't either. And I wouldn't bet on anybody being able to fix that disaster. They'll obviously have to move on from Rodgers. There's no way they're going to run it back with him. But, yeah, I just don't know what qualified coach really wants that gig other than Rex Ryan.
Yeah, that's
true. Bring it back.
He's just slamming the table. He wants it so bad.
Hide your feet, hide your wives. All right, Bill Belichick. And we got some audio here of the Fox crew. And by the way, Brady called the game. It was Rams and Bills. So he got to just walk across the street from the Fox studios and was at SoFi. So he got to be part of the pregame show in studio. That should have been his home. He's much better at that, in my opinion, than he is calling
the football game. More comfortable, huh?
Yeah. I think he's really good at the desk, you know, doing this stuff with Howie and Jimmy, and then they had Edelman and Gronk with him. I thought Brady was very good. Then later on, as I'm kind of trying to follow along with the game, it sounded like he was losing his voice trying to call Bills and Rams. Just was not good. It hasn't worked out a ton for Tom.
Not used to the work?
Maybe. Maybe like at this time of the year, like it's the, you know, that third quarter of the season, sure, and you know, it's December, and I'm not used to talking this much. But you think with like quarterback cadence.
Right, exactly.
Like those guys are straining constantly. They're basically yelling at the line of scrimmage. Maybe you'd have built up the vocal cords. But
couldn't do 3 days of the draft with us then, could he?
No, he could. He wouldn't make the third day. Yeah. He would not. But Bill Belichick and the UNC stuff is really gaining steam. So they've got Jules, they've got Gronk, and they got Brady on the set. And they ask him, hey, I mean, what do you think about Gronk? Or what do you guys think? Bill, could he actually coach in college?
Belichick is actually interviewing for college jobs? Can you imagine him coaching college?
No.
Absolutely not. Recruiting an 18-year-old?
Listen, you really want to come here? I mean, we don't really want you anyway, but I guess you could come. We'll figure out if you play.
If you bring your parents and use them as a third party, you're gone. You're off the team. We're direct.
Some scar tissue built up here among these guys. Thanks for joining. Belichick is...
It's amazing. You could come. Do you really want to come here? We'll see if you play. Blah, blah. Like the gimmick there, mimicking Bill B from Brady, I thought was brilliant. But Belichick was on with McAfee today. He said, we'll see. On regards to the North Carolina job, he says, absolutely. He has done a lot of research and homework on coaching in college. He says, if I was a college program, the college program would be a pipeline to the NFL for the players that had the ability to play in the NFL. It would be a professional program, training, nutrition, scheme, coaching, and techniques that would then translate to the National Football League. Do you think maybe this could work out? Bill Belichick has the ability to build a giant there with North Carolina.
Yeah, I think it'll provide a lot of value. Like if I'm a player, a parent of 4- and 5-star kid, I want to get to the NFL. You know, I think Belichick gets, very significant consideration there. I kind of look at it from the other side of like why he would want to go there, though, and I think it's because he's probably getting the signs that maybe the NFL team isn't going to open up for him, you know. So I think this is Belichick sort of acknowledging that maybe his time in the pros is over and he's getting an early start on getting one of these college jobs.
I think it's, to be honest with you, I think it's more about he can't run his program the way he wants to in the NFL because he wants to. For all those years, he was essentially the team's general manager. And I don't think anybody with his track record the last 3-4 years on evaluating players and drafting players, I don't think anybody wants to put him in charge of their player personnel.
Yeah, GM Bill kind of ended up getting head coach.
Yeah, he's getting pushed back. If Bill were just to go and interview his, I'm going to be your head coach and let your personnel department do what they need to do, I think he could get some interviews, but his insistence of wanting to implement and have a say in the roster the way he does, I think that turns a lot of people off, and the colleges are okay with that.
I think there's truth in what both of you guys are saying here, because I saw an article today from The Athletic that Bill's surprised that some of these teams that already are have fired their coaches haven't at least reached out to gauge some interest, and I think the other layer of it with the report we got last week is the possibility of his son being named the head coach in waiting, right? So I don't know if his son's getting a gig like that if it's not for Bill kind of laying down the foundation. So maybe it is, Gavin. Maybe it is a lack of NFL interest, a lack of NFL teams saying, Bill, we want you, but we don't want you as a GM. And Bill says, well, I don't want that. And then there's the son element to it as well. All of that probably playing a factor into why maybe now all of a sudden the college game's more appealing for one of the GOATs.
Yeah, and his son's working in college right now, so, you know, maybe he's found some things he really likes. He's talking with dad about it, and it opens up as an attractive opportunity. We were mentioning it last week. He's still like 28 wins from the record in the NFL, so maybe at his age and not being able to catch on with a really good team, it's just making sense. I think he loves to coach, and he doesn't know what to do if he's not.
No question. And the last thing here, the Giants yesterday, did you guys see the plane with the sign that flew overhead before the game?
Yeah, I loved it.
Fixed this dumpster fire, and they were sending it to the owners there. Mr. Mara, enough. Please fix this dumpster fire. The last time this team's apparently reached this level of dysfunction, you got to go back to 1978 for the Giants as they're looking at possibly getting the worst record in the league. They fall to 2-11. Malik Nabers was asked about it. He said, I just didn't pay for the plane. Okay, don't put this on me. But I think overall he agrees.
I love the messaging. I just want you to know I wasn't behind it. I do stand by it, but I wasn't
signed off,
behind it.
But I didn't pay for the plane.
How about Giants fans, man? I mean, that's something that Jets fans should be doing and have been doing for the better part of the last decade. And here's the Giants going first. They need to do the same thing for, hey, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Woody.
Yeah.
Fix this bleep, Rich.
And if a Cowboy fan wanted to get in on that, I mean, most of the time you don't have the roof open. Looks like the roof's open tonight.
Yeah, we're playing.
So maybe if you got a wealthy fan and you want to write a message that's a little bit, hey, let's send one to the ownership group here. You can fly that over the stadium.
It's open now, but the roof being open, it's always a game time decision.
So far, I don't think anything's fallen yet. I think we're
in good shape.
But you're right. You never know. Maybe we get a rainstorm. There's your NFL News of the Day.
Thank you, Wolf Chuck. NFL News Today almost every single afternoon at 3 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation. Troy Aikman's coming up at 6 o'clock, the Cowboys pregame show starting at 4. There's something you need to know if you're heading out to the stadium tonight, and we'll talk about that with the C-Note coming up next in the Nation. Here we go, Nation. It's Cowboys game day, 4 o'clock pregame coming up here on 105 through the Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. I'm Gavin Dawson. You have the former NFL scout and executive, Brian Broaddus. He's out there at the stadium on the Miller Lite Plaza. He's picking the Cowboys, so am I. Wolchuk and Chiafalo, for some reason, see it the other way. Okay, they're out there with Brian. You have Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control. Alrighty, time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. Everything that's developing with kickoff approaching. We're now under 4 hours away. Segment of the Fans brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. And this is the game day tailgate brought to you by the Low T Center, reinventing men's health care. Everything good? The crowd showing up, and we're ready to rock.
Yep.
Out there at the stadium.
Getting better.
We're optimistic on Diggs and Guyton playing tonight. That was the word from Stephen Jones. We know, you know, what Diggs can do to turn a game around. How much better is Guyton than Adoga right now, Broaddus?
Well, the thing where I think Guyton gets in trouble is because of the penalties.
Yes.
You know, when you watch him 65 plays, and there's a couple of them where he looks off balance, one-legged football player, getting beat inside,
yeah,
finds a way to recover. It's the penalties, I think, that makes everybody mad at Guyton now.
And it's because of everything that you just pointed out.
Yeah.
He's so large as a human being, and it's some of the issues that we saw watching him at Oklahoma.
Right.
You always talked about it, marrying the hands with the feet. When he gets kind of top-heavy,
mm-hmm,
now he's having to lunge, and that's when you'll see the hand placement. Even if some of the times we've gone back in slow-mo replay and said that's not a hold, to the official who might have an awkward vantage point, it's like hands are on the outside. They're right on the outside of the shoulder pad. That's a holding call. So he's not getting the benefit of the doubt on those, and he's putting himself in awkward positioning based on where his hands and control is.
So the roof's open right now, from my understanding. Do you think they'll leave it open for the game?
Yeah, if they open it up, I think that's the plan. If they're gonna, they start with it. Let the teams warm up, and it's gonna be a really nice night for football. So it does look like the doors on the side. Now, if the doors are open, that kind of can affect like the breezes that go when you start to talking about getting the kicking game. But with the roof, it's just give everybody an opportunity to get a little fresh air in that place.
So, yes, along with that fresh air, I think maybe a stocking cap like the one Lucius has on right now, maybe a good coat if you're heading out there. I don't know what we're getting down to tonight, but I know anything around 50 is a little bit too cold for me.
Yeah, especially here in the Miller Lite West Plaza, like it kind of traps the wind a little bit. So it's just that breeze. Like the sun is shining enough now to where it's still warm, but you can feel in the shade with a little breeze. It's going to get a little bit nippy there. We're going to have to go jacket on here, Broaddus. Mm-hmm.
So
the both of us.
I got my jacket on.
Yeah.
Among your storylines, Troy Aikman, who's going to join you guys coming up at 6 o'clock, His play-by-play man, Joe Buck, saying this week Jerry Jones is the biggest star in the NFL. What do you guys make of that? Is he right?
Man, I would say he's right up there. I still think ultimately you think of a player first. Like, is it Pat Mahomes just because the greatness and the way he transcends things? Of course, Lamar Jackson, electricity, MVP, always on a winning team. So I think those guys are still, if you just were polling the average fan, but there's no question that who the most powerful is.
Yeah, and maybe a top 10. I think that's a great point, Chief. I agree with you. What do you say, Wolchuk?
Man, I kind of was leaning a player too, but like when I'm thinking about it, I don't think there's any player that could make a statement that is now going to set the NFL on fire like when Jerry speaks, right? I mean, it's like no matter what he says when he's on with Sean and RJ or KMC, it's going to be clipped. It is going to be headlines, and NFL Network, ESPN, Fox Sports, whatever network it is that talks about sports, the headline's not Patrick Mahomes,
right,
or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Barkley or Parsons or whatever. It's what did Jerry Jones and the Cowboys say? And I think that even eclipses his own quarterback in Dak Prescott. So, I mean, I initially felt the same way as you did, Eric, but like thinking about it, I don't know that any player has the same type of polarizing words and can tilt just eyeballs and ears like Jerry Jones.
Yeah, he is the ultimate P.T. Barnum when it comes to sports and opinions and things like that. You get national programs leading their broadcasts with stuff that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys are doing, and this team is 5-7 right now. So that just shows you the reach that this man has. He's always had that reach. He's made this league, he's made these owners from mom-and-pop shops to all billionaires by TV deals, revenue deals with sponsorships, merchandising and all that. He's helped and had hand in stadiums being built around the league, you know, creating them, helping create funds so the league can lend money to these owners in order to help build stadiums and stuff. So, yeah, his reach and power in this league is, it's very reminiscent of the man who sat in the chair before him. And when you talk about Tex Ram and what the influence he had over Pete Rozelle.
Shout out to Broadus for living up to the crusty name and referencing a P.T. Barnum who died in the 1800s.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a hell of a callback.
Oh, no, but he's one of my favorite
Connecticut state representatives of all time.
He's the ultimate showman.
Yeah.
Hey, the greatest showman. That's a hell of a movie.
So we're a little bit warmer right now, maybe coming down into the 50s there towards the end of the game. But no, I agree with that. Everything you guys said, I think for sure he's around top 10, maybe top 5, but I don't think there's anything bigger than Mahomes. Like, I would measure it by, you know, what is your endorsement fee if Ford wants you to, you know, be their official spokesperson, right? You're the guy that's going to have the biggest influence on the fans. But no doubt Jerry Jones is massive. How about Jason Witten's Liberty Christian winning Taps Division I state title, ending Parrish's 5-year run? And last year they won the Division II state title. They got moved up, and they still kicked butt and took names. What's that do as far as how you look at him as a coach candidate?
It's going to get him an interview. I mean, nobody loves high school football more than Jerry and Steven.
Hey, that's true.
So, I'm saying that we're talking cheap.
Still plugged in.
I will say, I do believe that if the Cowboys do go into a coaching search, this Jason Witt is going to get an interview.
Yeah,
they're sure going to ask, but maybe they'll ask Jason Witt, would you be interested? Okay, we're talking about a coaching position.
Okay.
But Jason Witt asked them as, hey, I want to talk about the head coaching position, or could the Cowboys entice him to come on to the staff
and be
a coach? No, maybe not an OC, but could he be
even a tight ends coach?
Yeah, something, yeah. What is your interest in? And Jason will probably tell you, listen, I don't want to do anything other than be a head coach, but I do have a feeling that he is going to get an opportunity to talk about this job if it does come open.
It doesn't change anything for me, Gavin, in terms of, I mean, you win a state championship in high school in the state of Texas, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Don't want to diminish that. But it's a crazy jump to go from private school.
How many years did he play in the NFL?
Yeah, but it's like even Dan Campbell, and that's what the comp is, right? Dan
sure.
Campbell went through a tight ends coach, interim coach in Miami.
Leader of men?
Then went over to New Orleans. Not saying he would, it's just man.
NFL Man of the Year, captain for like 15 years.
Man, Jeff Saturday had a great resume like that too, and he was. They were laughing.
Not that extent.
They were. Jeff Saturday as a center was one of the best when he played.
Hey, but not to the extent of the number of the Pro Bowls and stuff that Jason went.
Yeah,
went to
a lot.
I mean,
he went to a lot.
I'm just saying, you're talking about like 18 years of playing of
it's kind of gimmicky, man. I mean, for a high school guy, I get what you're saying, but I mean, that's why like
What's the difference between him and quarterback quality control coach you want to hire from the Rams?
He's actually coached in the NFL. It's a pretty big difference.
Guy's played in the NFL for 18 years.
Yeah. I think it comes down to a communication style, though.
Has much weight.
I just think it's about these players and can you hire a staff? Look what Dan Campbell's done.
The staff is
big. You find a staff that can work that you can work with. Jason Witten can stand in front of a team and be credible.
Right.
You know,
like can
Dave Kanellis stand up there in front of a team and be credible?
We were just talking about Tom Brady and how, you know, on the play-by-play call, it's one thing. You put him on set in a studio, and he's got a completely different swagger and confidence about him. I can't bet that because he can command the attention of 17-year-olds, it's going to work with 27-year-olds as well. I think it's a significant risk.
Yeah, I mean, we're questioning if one of the greatest coaches, if not the best, in Bill Belichick, could go from the NFL and succeed in college.
Oh, he'll be fine wherever he – Bill Belichick is fine because Bill Belichick's a program builder. That's the recruiting.
I think that's more likely than – I mean,
that's the recruiting. But yeah,
to the NFL. We're going to give him a head coaching job in the NFL? That's wild.
Okay, but you're talking about an organization that doesn't have a traditional general manager.
Oh, I mean, if any team's going to do it, it's this one. And
yeah,
I think that's
what
I'm
saying. Yeah, it's just
that's why, this could work.
But yeah.
Why it could work because what's happened is this general manager is not going anywhere.
I think
like anybody
think
else could get fired.
How unserious the organization is about actually trying to win a damn championship.
You think that they're unserious if they interview a guy that has the skins on the wall?
If you hire the guy, yeah. You're not serious if you're hiring a high school football coach to be your head coach of an NFL team without having experience in the NFL or even in the college ranks. That is crazy.
I just remember Andy Reid not having any coordinator experience at all and getting a head coach.
It's not even comparable, Brian.
I'm just saying. I mean, you're talking about experience.
Yeah, and he got the experience and became a good head coach.
Yeah, that's a pathway from like quarterback coach or assistant of some sort to the next step as an OC. Has it ever happened, high school to the NFL?
No.
Yeah, for good reason, Brian. I know it could happen. I just don't think it's a good idea.
You guys should not. And you're saying unserious, but. Get ready. You might be. You're going to continue to cover an unserious team, and this unserious team is going to interview that guy.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. I think could do this.
So when they interview him, just make sure you talk about it being unserious.
Well, I don't think it's unserious. I think it's a bad idea. But
We got to make sure that we do that we hold them to task that they're unserious. That's all I'm saying.
I'll hold him to task.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that there is a possibility this guy has more skins on the wall as a player and as what they know about him as a person to be able to do this. That's what they know. That's all I'm saying. That's why I think he's going to get an opportunity because they know the player. They know the person. That's why I think he gets an opportunity.
Of course, that is the voice of Brian Broaddus, the former Cowboys scout, and he knows better than anybody how that
I'm not say, work. Hey, I'm not saying that. Don't throw that in there, Dawson. I'm just saying.
I was just trying to give you some love, brother.
It's not. It's not with you. It doesn't come that way sometimes. I'm just saying.
Okay.
My experience is I understand what you guys are saying, and you're absolutely right. You know, but I'm just – my point of view is – this team, they will give him an opportunity because of what they know about the person.
I believe it.
That's all I'm saying.
Coming up next, it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Where are you taking us, Brian?
Yeah, let's talk about it. I got some questions for you guys as we lead up to this. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Pre-game is coming up at 4 o'clock. Jason Witten at 5. I'm sorry, at 6. Jason Witten at 6 there in the pregame show.
Troy Aikman?
My bad. I don't know. Krusty's Corner brought to you by...
We were talking, Witten. It's okay.
Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is. my broadcast blood brother, Ryan Brooks.
Thank you, Dawson. I appreciate that. I'll try and get this thing out of here, Dawson, so you can have time to send us off into the distance,
yes,
okay?
Sir. Okay.
I will do that for
Sounds
you.
Sounds great.
I'll start with you on this one, though, Dawson. Micah Parsons will be a bigger factor in this game than Trey Hendrickson.
I'm gonna say fact on that because the Cowboys can bring pressure in multiple ways. They have better supporting cast around him. I think, you know, Lawson can do something. Maybe you get something up the middle from Osa. And, you know, maybe Zim schemes some stuff up. Maybe we'll see that A-gap blitz coming in. And so, yeah, I think Mike is playing some great football right now. I think that break probably benefited him, kept him fresh. And I think he's out here trying to make a statement tonight.
How about you, Chief? Micah Parsons will be a bigger factor in this game than Trey Hendrickson from the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm in agreement on that. I mean, the Cowboys, of course, as you mentioned, they're going to want to run the ball, and they're going to get the ball out quickly. I think they will be able to schematically kind of neutralize the one scary pass rusher that the Bengals have. There's no neutralizing Micah Parsons. He's the better player, and Zimmer, as Dawson mentioned, I mean, he's deep in his bag right now. On third down, he's ready to just bring the heat. So, and the Bengals will drop back and pass on you all night.
Full Chuck?
Yeah, I agree, Micah. And I think the way that Zim can move him around is something that you don't see with Trey Hendrickson.
Right. He's going to play that right edge.
Exactly. So I think that Micah is certainly able to wreck this game in more of a way than Trey. I mean, I think that the point, Eric, that you made last week about Myles Garrett, week one, we were terrified about that. The Cowboys didn't allow Myles Garrett to wreck
right.
that football game. I think they can have a similar plan to try and neutralize Trey Hendrickson tonight.
Yeah, I like that too. I think the fact that, and you brought up a great point, Wolchek, was the fact that they can move Micah around. And Trey Hendrickson, I mean, Dallas could say, hey, he's only had four rushes off the left side
yeah.
out of all the pass rushes he's had this year. So that would be a surprise to me if they moved him over on the other side. Steele's actually been playing better, too, over there.
I think he's coming off his best game.
And maybe that's because of a healthy guard playing right next to him there. So, okay, hey, about this one? How about this one, Chief?
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb will be a bigger factor than Ja'Marr Chase in this football game.
No, I got to go false on that. I think CeeDee Lamb is clearly dealing with a bit of a shoulder issue. Now, maybe the time off between the Thanksgiving Day game to today is enough to make him more himself. But Ja'Marr Chase, that's a no-brainer situation right there. That dude's going to get chunk plays on you. They are going to be explosive. And he has the benefit of having Joe Burrow throwing him the football tonight. And
right.
I think that's a huge factor.
How about you there, Wooly?
It's a great question. I think I would go yes, only because there's the possibility of, like, T. Higgins stepping up and having a great game. Or Andre Yoshivash. Like, I think there's more weapons on Cincinnati's side. It's CeeDee Lamb, and that's pretty much it. Maybe Jake Ferguson back is healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe Scooney continues to play well. I mean, Brandon Cooks, I guess. But, like, T. Higgins is a bona fide badass as well.
Right.
Would it shock us if T. Higgins ended up having two touchdowns and was their leading receiver tonight? No. But if the Cowboys are going to want to win, CeeDee Lamb's going to have a big stat line.
I think Lamb being hurt, being sort of on his own as far as the receiving core goes, is going to make it tough for him. I think Chief just made a great point, though, as I was considering it, that you have Joe Burrow throwing to you.
And there you go. That's it right there.
If you're in fantasy tonight, you're thinking Chase is going to triple up what CeeDee does.
And remember, this is kind of a revenge game for him. Last time he was in this building, he was kind of embarrassed.
He was.
That's true.
I tell you what, you guys made the point about Joe Burrow. That's that, you know, CeeDee Lamb is dealing with a quarterback that's not willing to throw the ball down the field.
Or a coach that doesn't even want to dial that up.
Exactly. So this is going to be a problem for the Cowboys with this Ja'Marr Chase. All right, Wooly.
Right.
Okay, you mentioned Jake Ferguson.
Uh-huh.
Big game for Jake Ferguson after missing the last two. A lot of single high coverage from your Cincinnati Bengals.
Boom. I'd say I'd love to see this. I've just been banking on Fergie all year long, and I've been waiting for it. He did start before the injury. You started to see some of the yard after the catch come back.
Yeah.
He was struggling after he had the knee situation in Cleveland. I'll say yes, because I think the matchup benefits that over the middle of the field. So a big game for him would be, can he get nearly around 100 and get in the end zone for the first time all year? That's possible.
Dawson, you got any love for Jake Ferguson?
Man, I think it's tough coming back from a concussion. Reading about his situation, like, he had a bad one. He woke up crying in the middle of the night. he was dealing with it. So I'm going to anticipate it'll be a slow return from Ferguson. I know he plays tough, and I'm not questioning his manhood at all. I just know from experience, you know, coming back from a concussion, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a little tentative.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Chief, how about this one? Mike McCarthy will need to – did I get you for Ferguson?
No, but I think it was well said across the board. I think the unknown of, like, his usage tonight. I mean, he was a full participant in practice. Yeah. I do think there's going to be a lot of opportunities. Cooper Rush wants to throw to the tight ends plenty.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be some huge eruption game, though.
I got you.
But plus, Scooney's coming on. So maybe you're not exclusively going to Jake in some of these sets.
Okay, the final one here is Mike McCarthy will need to think about going for it more in this game because of Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati offense.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, that is. I mean, obviously, as the game develops, you'll kind of see the way the defense is playing. But going into it, yeah, I think you're trying to, at every turn, sustain drives and keep Burrow off the field. And you're going to have to match him. You can't settle for field goals. I know you love a 65-yard field goal, Mike.
Right.
But 4th and 3, you're probably going to have to go for that one tonight, my friend.
How about you there, Wooly?
I agree with you 100%. I think this is all about you can't settle for field goals. You know, Cincinnati's going to put pressure on you. Even though I'm a believer in what this Cowboys defense has going, Joe Burrow's a guy that's capable of beating a good defense, even under duress. I think you've absolutely got to be aggressive to try and get the football into the end zone. I think you can't be settling for 3. You got to find a way to get 6.
Dawson, Mike McCarthy needs to think about calling this game a different way because of Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati offense.
Absolutely. I'm hoping Dowdle gets rolling and it can give you a good, you know, feeling about 4th and short type of situations, because I would not feel good about Cooper Rush there. I just think maybe, you know, Mike McCarthy needs to do some things that take risk into consideration in a big way. I don't know. Maybe he should call, Jason Witten. He seems like he's more than
he's the guy
to handle the NFL.
He does, man. If Witten was on the sidelines, I think he would have a chance to maybe help him in this football game. Thank you, boys. Appreciate it. Dawson, all you.
Thank you, sir. There he is. Brian brought us Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Again, Troy Aikman is coming up at 6 o'clock. Now, I want to draw your attention to tomorrow, because Broadus amongst the media is the first to look at the film because he's connected. And tomorrow at Krusty's Corner, he will have film takeaways. You know, and it's a great time to match up how that narrative about what happened, and what sort of evidence the film has. So the first show after game day, Krusty's Corner, is always can't miss. Again, 3:40 every day, brought to you by Reliant. For Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control, and for Carter Freeman coordinating your video, you can watch us every day at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. For Woolchuck and Chia Follow and Broadus, pregame show coming up next. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the nation. Salute.